The horticulture industry is big business, nationally and in Ohio. The organization that represents the many facets of the industry, from growers to retailers, suppliers to innovators, students to researchers, calls Columbus home. Today, we're going to learn more about American Hort when we talk with the president and CEO, Ken Fisher. Going green, today on Town Hall, Ohio.
This is Town Hall, Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall, Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall, Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
In for Joe, I'm Dave Russell. Well, the horticulture industry is big business, with an economic impact of $163 billion. It's an industry that provides jobs for 1.15 million Americans. In Ohio, according to the 2012 census, the value of nursery, greenhouse, and floriculture sales tops $437 million. American Hort is the organization representing the many segments of the horticulture industry. To learn more about the organization, I sat down with American Hort President and CEO Ken Fisher during the organization's trade show, Cultivate 17, held in Columbus.
Ken, I appreciate you being able to spend a few minutes with us here at Cultivate 17, a huge event. But before we talk about it, let's talk more about American Hort. What's this organization all about?
Dave, American Hort was formed in January of 2014. It was the combination of the largest nursery trade association called ANLA and the largest greenhouse grower association called OFA. These two organizations were put together to build really an industry-wide trade association to try to look after the best interests of the industry. This industry is built on the shoulders and backs of hundreds of small family businesses. I shouldn't say small. Some of them are quite large and some of them are global. There's many second, third, and fourth generation family businesses in this industry, which is fairly unique across the country. And so American Hort allows the industry to have a voice in Washington through advocacy. We also help the industry understand the economics that continue to change with consumer spending, just overall discretionary spending. We also do a lot of market research work to help understand what are consumers doing, what are consumers buying, what are these millennials doing with their time and money, what do they value. So we try to help with advocacy, we try to help with economics, market information. We also spend a lot of time with helping the family business understand what it's going to take to transfer to the next generation. We are trying to facilitate a generational transfer of this industry. Like agriculture across the board, it's run by a more experienced kind of 60-something-year-old generation, and we are helping to facilitate the 25 to 35-year-olds into this industry.
So we can break the horticultural industry down into what, different segments?
We can. We're proud to represent greenhouse growers, nursery growers, garden center retailers, landscapers, landscape distributors, interior plantscapers, florists, researchers, educators, students, and even the trade press.
It is a growing industry.
The industry is growing. It's very dependent upon the economy. Obviously, if there's new housing starts, people are putting more landscape in. Right now, with housing being strong, commercial real estate being strong, we are seeing some nice growth in the industry. Certainly, it's cautious optimism because there are always some headwinds in any kind of industry because we are at a certain level competing with consumer discretionary spending. This year, for the most part, has been a pretty good year. We have a few parts of the country where we're weather related. Of course, if you have a wet spring or you have some weekends where people aren't shopping for plants, it hurts a little bit. But overall, the industry's got a pretty nice health going on right now.
We mentioned that we are in Columbus at Cultivate 17, a huge trade show. What's the overall objective of this event?
You know, this is where the industry comes together. Certainly, we have over 700 exhibitors here. There's a lot of commerce that takes place. There's a lot of orders written. There's a lot of new products introduced. But I'll tell you, Dave, that what I've seen is this is really where the industry comes together from a professional networking standpoint. These are hardworking business people that have their heads down most of the year taking care of business, and it's an opportunity for them to come reconnect with old friends, meet new friends, and the professional community really comes together. We also have over 125 educational sessions covering all aspects of the horticulture industry, taught by the best and brightest in academia and in industry. So it is a trade show, it's an educational workforce development program, and probably of all the things, it's a professional networking opportunity for this industry.
American Hort is also involved in getting young people involved in this industry.
You know, it is, and that's one of the most important things that we're working on is this generational transfer that has to take place in the industry. On Saturday, we hosted about 175 what we call next gens, they're not just millennials, but they're usually 25 to 35 who are going to take over this industry. We hosted a program called Career Up, where we had the morning based upon skill development around communication. And then the afternoon we had four speakers that did sort of TED Talks about their experience and how they've seen their careers develop through better communication skills and just the investment that we're making in this next generation.
We were talking before we started recording that you came to American Hort from outside the industry, so I would imagine it's been educational for you to come in and kind of take over the reins of American Hort.
I did, Dave. Interesting story. I don't have a background in the green industry. In fact, when I got the call from a recruiter who said he had an opportunity in the green industry, I had to ask him exactly what that was. I'm kind of embarrassed to say that now, but I've learned a lot about horticulture. I've learned a lot about our industry just in the past year, and everybody's been very helpful. My background has been in consumer goods, so I've spent a lot of time in branded consumer products and understanding how markets work, how you develop consumer products, and it's very pertinent to what we do here. Certainly there's the science behind growing great plants. I'm not going to add a whole lot to that equation because there's a lot of people that have spent their whole lives and even generations developing these plants, but the consumer trends are changing, and we want to be able to help our companies meet those changing consumer needs.
Should mention that American Hort is Ohio-based.
American Hort is Ohio-based. The OFA portion that was combined with ANLA started out of Ohio State nearly 100 years ago. And so we are Ohio-based. American Hort is in Columbus, Ohio. We have a very strong team in our D.C. office as well, but we are a Columbus-based company.
For those around the state that hear more about horticulture and everything that's going on, what are some of the things that you would like those maybe home gardeners to keep in mind?
One of the things we're trying to really help promote is the health and economic benefits of plants. There's a lot of studies out there. One of our chief economists is Texas A&M for American Hort, and he's done a lot of work around the economic benefits both for communities, for subdivisions, and for homeowners of investing in landscape. So we know that there's an economic opportunity for consumers to be able to do that if that's the area you're looking for. We also know that there's significant physical and mental health benefits to plants, right? Gardening is not just a hobby. Gardening is really one of those things that can improve your life. And we really believe as people who grow plants, shrubs, trees, that it's a health issue, it's a beautification issue, it's an economic issue, and we're really trying to help people understand that plants aren't just utility, that you need to put a boxwood and a pine tree out front, that there's both an art and a science to how we can do landscaping around our homes and in our communities.
And I was going to say that if anyone has a question about anything, there's someone in the industry that they can ask and get an answer.
There is. I'm amazed at the the depth and the breadth of the knowledge in this industry, and it's the passion that we have in this industry, people dedicating their whole lives to, you know, understanding how plants work and how you can get the most out of plants is amazing. So we certainly do. There's the best source is your local retail garden center. The local garden retail center, these people are they are dedicated to the industry. They're very knowledgeable. If you have any issues with pest or disease, they've got the answers. If you want to know what's going to grow good in what climate, if you want to know what's going to grow good in the shade, you know, what kind of soil, I'm consistently amazed at the talent that we have in your local retail garden center.
Ken, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to visit with us. Boy, this is impressive.
Well, Dave, thanks. I appreciate you being here. And, you know, this is a business-to-business show. It's really not open to the public. But there are a lot of business companies who come through here who are in the agriculture business or in the landscape business, nursery business, are here in Columbus for Cultivate. And we'd love to have them stop by and see how this whole thing works. And we'd also appreciate people considering being members of American Hort.
Ken Fisher, President and CEO of American Hort. The incoming chairman of the organization is Tom Demoline of Willoway Nurseries in Lorain County.
Well, my parents started the company in 1954 as a landscape company. We phased out of landscaping in the mid-70s and went strictly into growing. And currently we're at about 1,000 acres of nursery stock and employ a little over 400 people in the busy season.
So Lorain County, is that evidently is a good area for your type of business?
Yeah, Lorain County is one of the bigger horticultural producing counties in the state. There's a couple other large greenhouse growers there, plus us on the nursery side. When you get in near the lake, you get a little bit of moderation from cold temperatures in the spring with the lake protection. And it's got good soils along the lake ridges for growing plants. So we do some ground container, or some plants are growing in the soil, so you need those good, well-drained soils.
So when's your busy time of the year?
We do 70% of our business in March, April, and May. It's, you know, everybody's getting ready for their, getting their yards cleaned up and planted and landscaping and coming out of winter. So I refer my talks with politicians a lot of things about and explain our business is, you know, we do our harvest in the spring and not the fall. So we get everything harvested and shipped in the spring, and then rest of the year we have some sales, but minimal. But now we're busily, I keep my staff apprised of where we're at. It's 35 weeks to the next spring. I'm already worried about spring 2018. So we got to get stuff planted, trimmed, growing out, get on inventory, and be ready to ship next March.
So from a customer standpoint, how do you anticipate what their wants and needs are going to be?
Well, we keep a pulse on the market to see what's, you know, what the new trends are. So we're always looking for new plants, plants that are easy to take care of for people, got continuous color throughout the growing season, or items of areas of interest, and are easy to grow. So we do that, and we also look at the basic landscape plants. We really monitor. After the recession, I'm a member of the National Home Builders Association, so I know how many houses are being built, and we monitor that and keep track of what's going on. But it is a big speculative business because a lot of our crops will go out 3 to 5 years, so we can't predict the weather at the end of the week. How are we going to predict what people want in plants 5 years from now?
Tom Demoline of Willoway Nurseries in Lorain County. We'll have more Town Hall, Ohio from Cultivate 17 after this. Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. I'm Dave Russell, sitting in for Joe this week. We are talking about the horticulture industry. American Hort is the organization that represents the various segments of the industry. While based in Columbus, the organization has a strong presence in Washington, D.C., where the advocacy team keeps close tabs on key issues, making sure the industry's voice is being heard. Craig Regelbrugge is Senior Vice President for Industry Advocacy and Research.
Craig, let's take a couple of minutes. Gosh, there are so many things that we could probably talk about when it comes to the public policy side of this industry. But there are some key areas that you folks are really focusing on these days.
Sure. I mean, if I can just make a quick comment about the industry itself. We are agriculture, of course, and we also have members who are in service and retail. But on the ag side, nursery and greenhouse crops are a third of the total value of specialty crops grown in this country, and specialty crops, which would also include fruits and vegetables and so forth, are collectively half the value of all crop agriculture. So when you really slice and dice it, we're a big piece. We're probably about 10% of the total value of all crop agriculture. It's a pretty significant piece. Public policy-wise, there are a number of important issues that we're working on at any point in time, and many times we're doing that in coalition with other groups, including farm bureaus and whatnot. One of them right now that's a common concern across all of ag is labor, farm labor workforce. The facts on the ground suggest that we've got significant and worsening labor shortages. We know that a significant portion of the farm workforce is not properly documented. They're working on the books, but they the documents are not as legitimate as they look. They are a key piece of the workforce. We also know that we have some visa programs in the industry that, like especially the H-2A program, that just simply doesn't function very well. It is a tool of last resort, and it desperately needs significant reform. So, tough road to hoe in Congress, obviously, right now, but we are very committed to trying to move some kind of serious agricultural workforce reforms forward, because the present and future of our industry totally depends on it.
I was going to say, this industry is labor-intensive.
Yeah, it's among the most labor-intensive sectors in all of ag, and you know, from a production cost standpoint, of all the costs that go into producing the crop, labor tends to be the single biggest variable cost. It can easily be 30%, and in many types of operations, it can be half of total costs of production. So it's a huge, huge deal. We are obviously trying to innovate, to mechanize and automate, to improve the quality of job opportunities that exist. But nonetheless, there is no escaping the need for hand labor.
Is there any area of the country that that is in better shape than another when it comes to labor?
Honestly, no. I mean, the labor situation used to be thought of as a border state issue or a California issue. It is border to border, coast to coast, wherever we're producing. And immigrant labor, foreign-born labor, is a key piece of the labor force everywhere. Now, some folks, think that, the foreign-born workers have taken jobs away from Americans. In reality, what's happened is foreign-born workers have come in and supplemented. They've filled gaps in the workforce that American workers have abandoned or are not around in sufficient numbers to fill. And that's because of, important societal changes. The native-born population is more highly educated. It is more urban and suburban. People are making lifestyle choices about the kind of work they want to do. But at the end of the day, if we're producing here, think about it this way. Almost everything that is grown in the Ohio nursery industry can be grown in the Canadian Ontario nursery industry right across the lake. But yet, if we lose the production here, it's estimated that there are 2 to 3 jobs, farm-dependent jobs upstream and downstream of the production, that will go wherever the production moves. They're providing inputs and services and so forth, and most of those jobs will go where the production is. So if we lose the production because we've starved it for labor, we will lose double that the number of farm worker jobs or more in terms of American jobs that go to where the production has moved.
So is the industry, is their voice being heard in Washington?
I think that there is a certain sympathy in Congress for agriculture's plight. And that's partly because we have been honest, open brokers in terms of talking about the issue. It is not a new issue, although it has worsened. We've come very close multiple times to passing rational, balanced, bipartisan solutions. But I think many in Congress want to see immigration law enforcement improve, but they also understand that if all we do is try to enforce our way out of this problem, we're going to damage our agricultural piece of the economy, which is critical in the self-same rural areas that are responsible for putting President Trump into office.
Craig Riegelbrugge is Senior Vice President for Industry Advocacy and Research for American Hort in Washington, D.C. Well, while labor is a key issue for the horticulture industry, it is far from being the only issue the advocacy team is working on. Coming up, we'll talk with Craig about the Farm Bill and bee health. And we're going to talk about Duman Orange, an international flower breeding company that has moved their North American headquarters to downtown Columbus. And before we wrap up, how many of you knew that Syngenta has a flower division? That and more when Town Hall Ohio continues. Welcome back. This is Dave Russell sitting in for Joe Corneli. We are talking about horticulture this week on Town Hall Ohio. Well, oftentimes we associate the Farm Bill with production agriculture, row crops, and animal agriculture. But Craig Riegelbrugge with American Hort in Washington, D.C. says the Farm Bill is also important to the horticulture industry.
And that really began in a serious way about 10 years ago. When the Farm Bill included the specialty crop title and began to build out some programs that help us deal with pest and disease threats, help us deal with focused research initiatives, things like that. And so in that, the Farm Bill is the primary expression of federal agricultural policy, and specialty crops are a big piece of ag. It's only right that specialty crops are at that table. And so we're working hard to continue to improve those provisions in the Farm Bill.
One other area that I wanted to take a few minutes visiting with you about, one that's important to this industry, but agriculture in general, and that's pollinators.
Yeah, we were dragged to the table, I think you could say, because of concerns and frankly activist groups attempting to seek bans of certain pesticides that are used for very good reasons. Systemic insecticides called the neonics particularly. So we were dragged to the table as conversations went on about banning these types of products. But where we have chosen it, we have a three-pronged approach on the issue. One prong is to fund directly and influence and drive a research agenda to give us answers to questions that we need answered. Two is to help equip our industry members with best practices so that we can be doing our part to protect pollinators, because pollinators are essential to our food supply. They're essential to plant life as we know it. And then the third piece is we are partnering in very novel ways with groups that share an understanding that inadequate forage and habitat is a big problem. The way we're organizing our cities, towns, and farms is squeezing out pollinator habitat. And so this is an area where our industry should be real natural. You know, we are producing flowering plants that sustain pollinators, and so we want to be all in on providing solutions through forage and habitat. So it's a multi-pronged approach, but it's an important issue, and at the end of the day, we want to be responsible stewards and contribute to solving the problem.
Craig Riegelbrugge. Well, an international flower breeding company has moved their North American headquarters to downtown Columbus. Meet Kate Santos, Operations Director for Duman Orange.
So I work for Duman Orange. We're a global plant breeding or flower breeding company. And so what we do on a daily basis is breed and develop new flowering plants. We work mainly in, let's say, six different categories: annuals, perennials, tropical plants, cut flowers, potted plants, and succulents. And so these are all genetics that we feel very strongly about. Our goal and objective is to be the largest floriculture breeder in the world. So little by little, we're getting closer to achieving that. We have over 7,000 employees globally. I'm very proud of that. And we basically are the front end of the supply chain for flowers. So we do the plant breeding and development, but we also do the production of the cuttings and the young plants that are then shipped to growers all across the world to finish them in their greenhouses, of which then they sell them to the retail garden centers that most consumers may actually interact with the products that we develop.
Just moved to your North American headquarters to downtown Columbus.
Yeah, we were really excited to have the opportunity to do so. We have a growing team. So as the company has grown, so has our team in North America. And so we were out in the outskirts of Columbus, a very small team of 5 people, but in a very short amount of time, we grew to almost 30 that are based here and outgrew our space and started looking downtown and thinking, you know, this is a great opportunity to really be in the center of the city, to have, you know, from a work-life balance for our employees. You know, there's a lot to do when they need to take breaks, go out to the commons, which is a really beautiful area.
Well, tell me a little bit about your community involvement, because that seems to be a big part of what you're about.
Yeah, we love Columbus, and it's really been a fantastic city for us, and we try to focus on ways that we can give back and interact with the city and the people that live here. And so we've had the fortunate opportunity to work with some great organizations from the conservatory and the Franklin Park Conservatory, and working and getting some flowers in their gardens and some of their holiday events with the poinsettias, and we've also worked with the Museum of Art and they do this fantastic event every other year called Art in Bloom. And Fashion Week Columbus, we're going into our 3rd year working with them, and that's been a really fantastic opportunity to work with fashion designers and how they're inspired by fashion and how that can translate into florals. And most recently, I've been working with the Schiller Park team, to look at how we can work and help beautify the park down in the German Village area. But we're always, trying to keep a pulse on where there are opportunities for us to help support our local community.
We'll have more with Kate Santos of Duman Orange when Town Hall Ohio continues.
Is a leading producer of greenhouse and nursery plants, generating sales of nearly $438 million. Duman Orange is a flower breeding company with their North American headquarters in downtown Columbus. I sat down with Kate Santos during the recent Cultivate 17, the horticulture industry's trade show, to learn more about Duman Orange, specifically what it takes to develop new varieties of flowers.
Probably a lot more than you'd think. So with regards to new variety development, we have to consider a lot of different things. And, so when we think of the supply chain, and as mentioned, we're at the front end of it, the next person that we sell our product to is the grower. So the considerations at the grower level are all very much tied to production. I mean, how long is it going to take to grow? How uniform and consistent is it in production? Are there any things that they're going to need to apply or add additional labor? So all of those factors for us are what we take into consideration, ultimately to distill down to making it as easy for them to be successful with our product. Then we have to carry it to the next stage and also consider at the retail side of things. So the product needs to hold up well at retail. We don't necessarily want something that is going to need to get watered multiple times a day, because that's hard to maintain at retail. It's got to have a good appearance and essentially impulse at retail for somebody to see that flower, from 30 feet away and get gravitated towards it and want to bring that home and into their home or their garden. And the final thing, of course, and I think ultimately the most important, is for the end consumer. We want to make sure we have flowers that are going to work for them.
Okay, we're catching up with you here at Cultivate 17. This is an impressive trade show. A lot of folks coming by. What kinds of things are they wanting to talk with you about this year?
Well, everybody's always interested first and foremost in what's new. You know, what are the new varieties? What are they? Why are they different? What's exciting? They also want to talk about where we're going next. You know, what are the new things, the big direction for the company in the next couple years? It's also business in review, what worked and what didn't, and making sure that our company and their companies are aligned. And finally, education. So we have a number of brokers that we work with that help support and sell our product. And so it's really important for us to educate them on what makes our product as fantastic as we think it is and how they can be successful selling it.
Kate Santos with Duman Orange. While walking around the trade show at Cultivate 17, I found a company exhibiting that I was familiar with on the agriculture side of things, but certainly not flowers. Janine Bogard was kind enough to tell me about Syngenta Flowers.
Yeah, actually Syngenta's been involved with flowers for almost 10 years now. So back in 2008, they made some acquisitions and acquired Goldsmith Seeds, Yoder Genetics, I just know them as Yoder, and then a Fisher Geranium. So the three companies came together, and between all our synergies between us, we put together this really great portfolio of flowers, whether they're produced from vegetative cuttings or from seed.
Well, I understand that you have been involved in the industry for a while now.
Yes, yeah. I've been in here, at least on the flower seed side of it, I've been here since 1988. So I've kind of grown up in the industry, the seed industry for sure.
So how has it changed?
It's changed dramatically. And that's the one thing I love about this industry. It never stays the same. And if you look at how we went to market 30 years ago compared to today, it's a whole different ball game. So way back, it was more about selling to the growers. And then all of a sudden, it became about the retail market with the mass market, because the Walmart, Home Depot, and Lowe's of the world, they're really making a lot of decisions about what they're going to put in their stores that customers are going to buy, the consumer. And now we're kind of going back more towards our roots and going back with the growers, but really it's all about retail and the big box stores and what they're going to put on the bench. So that's where the focus has really changed over the years.
So what goes through your mind when you look around at this trade show underway in Columbus, Ohio?
I go, wow. There's so much innovation and energy going on here. That's a really great thing. And it's really nice to visit with my competitors, because we're all curious about what each other's bringing to market. So this is kind of the market intelligence going on here. But there's growth, and there's enthusiasm, and the product has gotten better. I mean, it's no longer your grandmother's red flowers that she had many years ago. I mean, the new genetics coming out are really made for performance in the garden, for longevity for the consumer, and ease of growing for the grower. So it's really come a long way over the years.
So for all of those home gardeners out there, what are some things that they should be thinking about as far as varieties and different things that's going on in the industry?
I really think they should look at things they've never grown before. I think a lot of people get into a rut. It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant, you order the same thing at the same restaurant. I think we need to get out of our comfort zone, and there's so much cool plant material coming forward. I think people just need to like kind of get away from their typical things they always buy and try something new every year. So they may be pleasantly surprised that this new thing may be their most favorite thing they've ever grown.
We'll wrap up this week's Town Hall Ohio when we talk with Allison Carlson of Syngenta Flowers after this. Welcome back. Well, to be honest, until I spotted their exhibit at Cultivate 17, I had no idea Syngenta had a flower division. But during my visit with Allison Carlson, a technical scientist at Syngenta Flowers, or as she says, a plant nerd, I learned that they are involved in the flower industry in a number of ways. Oh, and if you're a high school or college student, stick around. Allison has some suggestions for those interested in a career in horticulture. So, let's begin talking about varieties of flowers available from Syngenta Flowers.
We have a lot of varieties and a lot of the key bedding plant species, so petunias and calibrachoa, sunflowers, geraniums, a lot. We have a wide assortment.
Well, let's talk about what goes into bringing those varieties to the home gardener.
Right, so Syngenta Flowers is a global flower breeding company. So we employ some of the best and brightest plant breeders in the world, and they come up with all these new colors and new habits and new crosses for plants, so that way we can have really cool stuff to share with the home gardener. So our process, we take it from breeding through R&D, figuring out how to culture it, how our greenhouse growers can produce it, and how it performs for the consumer. One of our main breeding objectives is garden performance. So when the home gardener takes it home, we want them to be successful.
So when we look at the Ohio market, for example, what are some of the more popular varieties that that home gardeners are looking for?
Well, things that have great landscape performance. Petunias are really great for the landscape. Our Deco variety will hold up really well under the rain and the sun, and just create a nice, beautiful carpet of flowers. Our new Sunfinity Sunflower do really well. It keeps blooming and branching throughout the whole season. Oh, also our Calliope Geranium will do really well here. Just intense color all summer long. Really great products.
Well, let's take a moment and talk more about Sunfinity, because that is a product that you're pretty excited about.
Oh, we're so excited about Sunfinity. It's really different from any other sunflower on the market. The typical pot type sunflower will last 3 to 4 weeks. It's one bloom and then it's gone. But Sunfinity will last all season long, 9 to 12 weeks of garden performance. It just keeps blooming and branching and putting out tons of flowers all season long.
Well, let's take them, kind of go in a different direction for just a moment. For those young people that are thinking about getting involved in the horticultural industry, what are some things that they need to be thinking about to maybe prepare for a career?
Oh, that's a great question. So we're always looking to bring young people into horticulture. There's so many different career options. I think having a degree in horticulture really helps. Doing your own gardening at home, just experiencing plants yourself, getting some work experience in a garden center, in a greenhouse, at a farm, like somewhere, just working with plants to get that appreciation of what it takes to grow a plant. And it's also important to know that a career in horticulture isn't just about being a grower or just being in the greenhouse the whole time. There's lots of opportunities for scientists like myself doing research. So many career options for people who love plants but maybe don't want to be down and dirty in the greenhouse.
So when did you decide that this was a career path for you?
So I didn't find horticulture until I started undergrad. So I originally thought I wanted to be an architect, and it didn't quite feel right. I started taking some other courses and started taking some horticulture classes and just totally fell in love. Realized I was a huge plant nerd, loved learning the Latin names, and I took a floral design class and fell in love with flowers. And then I started working on a flower farm during the summer. And I also really liked the science courses that I was taking. So then I decided to go to graduate school and pursue horticultural science for a graduate degree. Got it signed on for more punishment with a PhD. And so now I work for Syngenta, and I get to be really nerdy with plants and figure out how to grow them and make our customers the most successful possible.
Allison Carlson, technical scientist at Syngenta Flowers. And that is this week's Town Hall, Ohio. A special thank you to Sherry Johnson with American Hort for her help at Cultivate 17. I'm Dave Russell in for Joe Corneli. Until the next time, so long, everyone.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.